Now we will hear the prayer of illumination based on Luke 12:49. God of wisdom, we eagerly seek your presence in our lives and in the world. By your Spirit, speak your word to us and give us your grace to recognize the abundant signs of your care for us, so that we might be freed to act in the world with courage and abandon. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Good morning, church. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning, we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, 1 to 4. And I'll read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people to not teach false doctrine any longer, or do devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This morning, go ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord. I must first give honor to God. Thank the Lord for his presence this morning. Thank him for the opportunity to come and to share with you. Thankful to Pastor Debbie for allowing me to stand in her pulpit while she's off. And I just want to greet everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. I also want to acknowledge my husband, Pastor Zenford. He stood already, but some of you might not have been here when he did stand up. I just thank the Lord for him. If you would just wave to the people. Amen. Yes, he's my husband and he's my pastor. And I thank the Lord for giving me the gift of his son. So if you're here this morning and you're single and you desire to be married, ask the Lord to gift you with one of his precious sons. You won't regret it. Bless the name of the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you from the verses I just read from Timothy. And my topic is very big, but I'm going to just kind of paraphrase a bit. So I'm going to be talking about leadership, doctrine, theology, and Bible. That's a whole lot of stuff there. But I just want to keep it simple and just talk about leadership to give us some characteristics of what it really is about being a leader. And I'm going to be doing this from the life of Timothy. And then I'm going to address a little bit about the false doctrine in the church, how to pick it up, how to see what it is, and how do we keep ourselves from that, and how it is that all of us, as it relates to theology, we are leaders. So I mean, when you talk about clergy and laity and all of that and so on, but this morning I just want us to keep in mind that all of us are called to be leaders. You and I, we're all leaders. And so that is what God has called us to. So I hope that at the end of speaking to you, you will get a different perspective on what it is that the word of the Lord is saying. So I want to talk to us a little bit about Timothy's preparation for leadership. So Timothy takes on special significance because of his special personality and personal relationship with the Apostle Paul. So they had a very unique relationship, and they functioned together as a team in ministry at some point in time. The background of Timothy is that, ironically, his father was a Greek unbelieving believer. He didn't believe in God. But Timothy's mother and his grandmother were the ones who were instrumental in actually teaching Timothy the ways of the Lord and teaching Timothy the scriptures. And so it is that us as mothers and grandmothers and fathers, if we missed it with our children, we missed it. But for we have a chance to pick up with our grandchildren and make up where we can teach them the scriptures. When they come to our homes, we sit with them. If it's even one Bible verse for a month until they get it, you're actually planting a seed that will germinate in years to come. And so I would encourage all of us that when our grandchildren and our children come, that we open up the word of the Lord before them. So that was what Timothy's mother and grandmother did for him. Surprisingly, I don't know if we all ever thought about the meaning of our names, because this believing mother gave her son the name Timothy. And Timothy, what it means in relation to Timothy is one who honors and worships God. And the second meaning of the name Timothy is in relationship with God to him, whereby it means honors and valued by God. So God honored him and valued him. And also Timothy, he honors and worships God. I will say to us that inherent in our name is our nature. And this is what we see keep coming out from the life of Timothy. So then, let's look at his relationship with the Apostle Paul. Timothy's special close relationship with Paul is described in details in 2 New Testament letters. Timothy had a good reputation, even as a child, and he was very versed in the scripture. And when he became old, he enjoyed the compliments of the good report that people had to speak about his leadership. And so it is that you and I, all Christians, we are called to be leaders. Our Christian responsibility is that we should lead, as the word of the Lord says in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, where we are given the commission that we should go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we are to replicate others. Persons who are out there could be like us. We can be contagious. So the word of the Lord says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we are to go, we are to teach, and we are to baptize each and every one of us as a mandate, because all Christians are theologians, and we are all responsible to reflect the biblical view of the word of God. So how did Timothy do this? How does this look in the contents of his life? 1, he had a godly reputation. So for Paul, a godly reputation was an important character to have. So let's say I'm here today and I don't feel that I have a godly reputation or a godly character. How can I be used of God? The first thing is I repent. Turn from my ways, my sinful ways, and now commit to walking with the Lord and in relationship with the Lord. And let's say you're thinking, so what if somebody say, well, because of my reputation, they don't believe that I have changed. Let it be their problem. Do you know the song that says, all the way to Calvary, he went for me? He went for me, and now he sets me free. Although I had so many sins, Jesus washed them all away, and he pardons me. So when he pardons you or me, anybody who has a problem with your past, let them keep dumpster diving. You stay free because Jesus has set you free. I just want to clear that up just in case somebody thinks, oh, I don't think God can use me. Yes, he can. So it is important, was important for Paul that Timothy had a godly character and that he had. So Paul may have specifically desired a man of good report among Christians and among the Christian leaders to accompany him in his apostolic journey. So this principle applies to every Christian leader. Every man of God should have a good confidence of reputation among Christians and Christian leaders, because we are all called to be leaders and should all possess the qualities. So like father, like son, many persons you see today, you see a father and you see a son. My husband's oldest son looks like him. When you see Daniel, you see him. Like Timothy and Paul, father like son, in the context of, though he was not Paul's biological son, but the gift and the calling that God placed upon the life of Paul, we saw it demonstrated through this young man's life. So Paul considered Timothy to be his own dear son in the faith. They shared deep relationship and commitment to the Lord and to one another and to the ministry. And so it is, God is calling you and I into a deeper relationship and a deeper commitment into ministry and with each other. One of the richest experiences in life or in the ministry of believers is their special spiritual relationship with each other. So you and I must share that spiritual bond that causes us to flow in that spiritual oneness. And we all demonstrate the same thing, like father, like son. So because I have a relationship with my pastor, I can demonstrate certain things because I learn from him, because he's replicating some things and it's birthing inside of me. It's the simple thing, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, meaning he's setting the examples. And as he sets the example, we follow. And so we become Christ-like also in reading the word and living by the word. So such relationships should be greatly prized by every Christian believer. Therefore, a Christian leader should never become too busy that they forsake the relationship of close brotherly relationship in the body of Christ. You need me, I need you. This morning we were asked, is there anything to celebrate? Is there anything to report? Why? Because we're a body. And so when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one is sad and cry, we all cry, because we are a body. So we should feel the joy and also the sorrows of each other. So Paul ordained Timothy not because of his good relationship with him, but because of the calling of God upon his life. And so Paul ordained him. Paul laid hands on Timothy and imparted to him some of his own spiritual gifts. But it was the Holy Spirit that anointed Timothy and gifted him. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is the one that will anoint all of us here to do his will and to do his bidding. And don't look at your age, because if you remember Caleb, he was 85 years old when he said, give me this mountain, I am well able. So all of us here are well able, because it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do the will of God. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about Timothy's character. He had some great character traits. These character traits should be demonstrated in and through all of us. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. He had a teachable spirit. Teachable spirit. Timothy had a teachable spirit, a teachable heart that made him open to instructions. Paul told Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned. That means he was taught some things. He was taught by his mother. He was taught by his grandmother. And he was taught by Paul. You and I don't know who we are shaping when we are growing our children and our grandchildren, because God has preordained them before the foundation of the world to be who he has called them to be. And once they come into Christ, they will fulfill that role. And so if we have children today and we feel like they are a little bit wayward, we continue to pray and to believe the Lord and to speak the word of God over their lives. You may not see it in your lifetime, but I'm telling you, it will happen, because the word of the Lord says that we should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So when the seed is sown, they may stray, but they will always come back to Father's house. So Timothy was taught some things, and Paul said, continue in the things that you've been taught, the things you will learn, the things that were imparted to you. He said, continue, the things that were instructed to you. Timothy had a kind spirit. And so it is that you and I, as leaders, we need to have a kind, teachable spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Timothy had a sincere heart. He was not into it for what he could get or the notoriety, but he was in it for the cost of Christ. In Jamaica, we have a thing that we say, do it for the love and not for the likes. So we do it for the love. Timothy do it for the love of God that was in him, and for the love that God developed in him through training for the people of God. And so he served them, and he had a caring spirit. This morning, as leaders, we want to have a spirit of compassion, giving people what they don't deserve. Because we deserve the penalty of death, but Jesus gave us what we did not deserve. He gave his life that we could have eternal life. And that is why we are here today. And so sometimes people can be a little bit mean and all of that, but let us show them compassion. Let us kill them with kindness, with love, not giving them what they deserve, but giving them what they need, because they need Jesus, and they need to feel that love and that compassion from you and me. So Paul could entrust Timothy with sending him as God's representative throughout the churches, because Timothy had a servant and a faithful spirit. He was submissive, very submissive brother, did murmur, grumble, or complain, but he was ready to do the will of the Lord with an attitude of obedience. And let me tell you, it did not mean that as a leader, he did not suffer. Remember, when he was thrust into leadership, he was young. And we know that young people, sometimes they have a little bit of insecurity when they have to speak to older people and address different issues in the church. So Timothy might have felt a little bit insecure, but Paul encouraged him. Paul encouraged him, and Paul strengthened him and helped him to develop in his character. I'm thinking that he went through testing. He went through trials. Yes, just like you and I. He faced the same things. But remember this. He was purposeful about the purposes and the will of God. So my brothers and sisters, let us look at the Christian theology should be grounded in the Bible and not in minor opinions or decisiveness. Therefore, Paul warned Timothy against false teaching. And we read that in the scripture this morning. He exalted and commended Timothy to stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Do not let them waste your time in endless discussions of myth and fables and endless genealogies, which ministers questions and spiritual pedigree rather than godly edifying within the faith. And people love to talk about many different things. They come to church today, oh, you must do this, you must do that, you must what? And sometimes the things, it's really religion. It's religious. It's not righteous. And so peradventure, Paul said these things only lead to meaningless speculations, which does not help people to live out their faith in God. The church at Ephesus may have been plagued by the same heresies that were threatening the church in Corinth. So in Colossae, so even in the church as a body, not the building, but the group of us as believers, we will find that there will be infractions and fightings and disagreement. Yes, and there will be people who come and they want to infiltrate the body with false religion. Paul was teaching and saying to Timothy and commanding Timothy to ensure that he addressed these situations. So the teaching that to be acceptable to God, a person had to discover a certain hidden knowledge that had to worship angels. That was some of the things that they were bringing into the church. And you find that in Colossians 2, 8 and 18. False teaching were motivated by their own interests rather than Christ. So it's all about Christ. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we teach, it's about Christ. We have the glorious light of the gospel inside of us, earthen vessels, and we are to go out there and talk to others about Christ. Yes. They embodied the church in endless and irrelevant questions and controversies, taking precious time away from the study of the truth. So Paul instructed Timothy to stay away from religious speculation and pointless theological arguments. Such exercise may seem harmless at first, but they have a way of sidetracking us from the central message of the good news, the person and work of Jesus Christ. So anytime somebody come and they're teaching a gospel that takes us away from Jesus, we know it's a false doctrine. They expand time we should use to share the good news with others and do not help people grow in their faith. We must avoid anything that keeps us from doing God's work. One of the things that we must guard ourselves against is that many leaders and authorities demand allegiance. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want notoriety. Today, some of whom have even turned from Christ to follow after persons of that persuasion. When they seem to know the Bible, their influence can be very dangerous. So we have to be careful about who we align ourselves with and what they think and what is the motivation behind it. Because sometimes persons know the Bible, but it doesn't mean that they are walking with the Lord. It doesn't mean that the character behind the person is that is befitting of what all the scripture tells us that we should live. And we can get caught up in that trap, a web of deceit. They teach what is contrary to the truth found in the scriptures. They promote trivial and decisive controversy instead of helping people to come to Jesus. They aren't concerned about personal evidence of personal evidence of the presence of the Lord in our lives and spending time with God. No, they're not. They have their own motives and their own agenda. So Timothy was telling all the people about what it is that they should see, how you can identify or you can discern all these false teaching that was in their community. And as a church, we will always find at some point in time. And this is why we have to stay in the Word. We have to know what the Word says. Because when we know what the Word says, it is very unlikely that we can be turned away. Because the Word of the Lord said, in the last days, many will turn away from the gospel, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. So if we are not studying the Word and living the Word, we can be trapped. So to protect ourselves from deception and false teachings, there are some things that we need to do. We need to learn what the Bible teaches and remain steadfast in our faith in Christ alone. And how can we do this? How can we be steadfast and how can we live out our faith in Christ alone? How can we become like Christ? By reading and learning the Word of God, by studying the life of Jesus through the Gospels, by spending time in prayer and by being filled with the Spirit, by obeying and doing his work. I want to close this morning by saying to each and every one of us in this auditorium today that God has called you and I for a specific purpose. If you feel this morning that you don't know what that calling is, the first place to start is by reading the Bible, reading the New Testament, looking at the life of Jesus. The second place to start is to be in prayer, asking the Lord to just fill us with his Holy Spirit and to impress on our heart what it is that he would want us to do. Maybe you didn't hear anything when you did that. So the third thing that we can do is to find something to do in our local church. There is always something that we can do. There is always. Many times when I go to church and I help to clean the church, it's that time that the Lord speaks to my heart and it brings a certain amount of humility to my heart. Many times I'm in the church and I'm cleaning, and to me, it's maybe two or three of us, but to me, it's a whole congregation that is there because I'm looking into the future. But maybe if I wasn't there, I wouldn't be thinking about that. Given our time, as we collected the offering today, we hear our sister Shelley says that we give of our money and we give of ourselves. So we volunteer. And sometimes it's volunteering, doing something that you didn't think you would have done, that the Lord start to develop you and train you and build character. And then you start to realize that, hey, I would want to do that. I would want to get involved here and there. So let me tell you this morning in closing that all of us are called to be leaders. God does not see a big I and a little you. All of us are level at the foot of the cross. He sees all of us the same way. And so this morning, I encourage each and every one of us to rise up to the occasion, to rise up to the cause of Christ, to step out and be bold and not ashamed, because as you start to step out, you will realize all the things that God has deposited in you, that latent potential that is there dormant, that you think is not there, it's right there. You just need to tap into it. So let us today rise to the occasion and be encouraged, because we are all leaders, we are all theologians, and we are all called to bring the good news of the gospel to mankind, to every people group. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, for lo, I am with you always. God bless you.